Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Data Matrix Global Services Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pratik Jagtap from EY for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shruti. Good evening to all the participants in the call today, and welcome to Q3 FY26 earnings call of Data Matrix Global Services Limited. The results and presentation have been already mailed to you, and it is also available on the website of Data Matrix. In case anyone has not received a copy of the press release or presentation, please do write to us, and we will be happy to send you all. To take us through the results today and to answer your questions, we have with us the top management of the company, represented by Rahul Kanodia, Vice Chairman and CEO, Ankush Akkar, SVP and Chief Financial Officer, Mitul Mehta, EVP and Chief Marketing Officer. Rahul will start the call with a brief overview of the quarter on business, which will be then followed by Ankush, who will take us through the financials. Then we will open the floor for a Q&A session. I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call, which gives any outlook for the future or which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you can find on our website. With that said, I now hand over the call to Rahul, sir. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pratik, and a good day, everyone. Thank you all for joining the Data Matrix Quarter 3 FY26 earnings call, and I wish you all a very happy New Year. I will begin the call with sharing some key highlights from our quarterly performance, followed by Ankush, who will take you through the financial update. We will then open the floor for Q&A sessions. Our total revenue for Quarter 3 stood at 510.1 crores, giving us a revenue growth of 19.9% on a year-on-year basis and 4.1% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Our EBITDA for Quarter 3 stood at rupees 96.2 crores, giving us an EBITDA growth of 76.4% on a year-on-year basis and 8.3% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. We improved our EBITDA margin by 604 basis points year-on-year and 75 basis points quarter-on-quarter to 18.9%, driven by our focus on improving operational efficiencies and disciplined cost optimization. I'm happy to state that this is one of the best quarters from a revenue and EBITDA perspective. We recorded a quarter-on-quarter revenue growth across all three business segments. In digital technologies, we delivered a double-digit revenue growth and a sustained double-digit EBIT margin. Revenue in digital operations remained stable, and EBIT margins improved to 18.1%. Digital experiences performance remained soft, and as highlighted in the previous quarters, two of our clients are transitioning their work to their captive centers. However, we continue to add new logos as well as expand our existing relationship across clients. Data Matrix is investing decisively in enterprise AI. We are further democratizing AI across the organization. I'm excited that we are rolling out Google Gemini Enterprise across the organization, empowering our teams to build intelligent agents, improve productivity, and drive innovation at scale. In partnership with Google, we have certified 200 employees on Gemini Enterprise in the past 1 month as phase one of this exercise. Additionally, we have built industry-specific AI solutions for insurance, banking, and logistics, enabling autonomous workflow orchestration, smarter decision-making, and enterprise-wide productivity at scale. This strengthens our AI-first culture and positions Data Matrix for sustainable growth and long-term value creation. Our continued focus on scaling strategic accounts, strengthening global delivery, and optimizing execution has further improved operating leverage and contributed to sustained margin improvement. With that, I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Ankush Akkar. Ankush, over to you.
Thank you, Rahul. Welcome, everyone, and wishing you a very happy new year. Let me start with financial performance for the quarter 3 FY26 and then I will take you through the 9-month ended December 2025 financial performance as well. Our quarter 3 FY26 revenue stood at ₹510.1 crore, reflecting a growth of 19.9% on year-on-year basis and 4.1% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our sustained cost optimization efforts and enhanced operational efficiency helped us improve our EBITDA to ₹96.2 crore, a growth of 8.3% on quarter-on-quarter basis and 76.4% on year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 18.9%, reflecting an improvement of 604 basis points on year-on-year basis and improvement of 75 basis points on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our EBIT for the quarter stood at ₹74.2 crore, which is up by 7.7% on quarter-on-quarter basis and 65.9% on year-on-year basis. Our EBIT margin was at 14.6%, reflecting an improvement of 404 basis points on year-on-year basis and improvement of 50 basis points on quarter-on-quarter basis. Changes in the new labor codes resulted in one-time increase of ₹40.3 crore in gratuity and leave encashment liability. This one-time increase was shown as impact on labor codes under exceptional item. Due to this impact, our PAT after non-controlling interest was at ₹36.4 crore, down by 42.5% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our PAT margin stood at 7%. Excluding the one-time impact, our PAT would have been approximately 12.7%. Our EPS for the quarter stood at ₹6.16 per share. In terms of segments, digital technologies revenue for the quarter stood at ₹169.6 crore, which is up by 10.8% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Digital technologies EBIT margin was also at 10.8% for the quarter. Digital operations revenue for the quarter stood at ₹273.8 crore, which is up by 0.5% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Digital operations EBIT margin was at 18.1% for the quarter. Digital experiences revenue stood at ₹66.7 crore, which is up by 3.2% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Digital experiences EBIT margin was at 9.6% for the quarter. In terms of geographical footprint, US remains our largest geography with 52% of our business coming from here, followed by UK and Europe at 22%, India at 17% and ROW at 9%. Our client concentration remains very healthy with top 5, 10 and 20 clients contributing to 29%, 42% and 55% respectively. Let me now take you through the performance for the 9-month ended December 2025. Our revenue stood at ₹1467.9 crore, reflecting a growth of 19.7% on year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA stood at ₹261 crore, a growth of 68.7% on year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA margin for the 9 months ended stood at 17.8%, reflecting an improvement of 516 basis points on year-on-year basis. Our EBIT for the period stood at 199.6 crore, which is up by 57.6% on year-on-year basis. Our EBIT margin was 13.6%, reflecting an improvement of 327 basis points on year-on-year basis. Our profit after tax, after non-controlling interest, was 150 crore, down by 6.3% on year-on-year basis. Our PAT margin stood at 9.9%. This decline was primarily due to one-time exceptional charge of ₹40.2 crore arising from changes in labor codes. In comparison, 9-month ended December 2024, PAT was 160.2 crore, which also included an exceptional gain of 34.8 crore. Excluding exceptional item, profit before tax grew strongly by 39.8% on year-on-year basis. Our bill DSO was at 55 days as of December 2025. We continue to maintain a healthy balance sheet. As of December 2025, our net cash and investment, net of debt, stood at ₹540.2 crore. Overall, we had a good quarter with strong financial performance. With this, I will now pass on the call to operator to open the floor for questions. Thank you for your patience and continued interest in Datamatics.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dhanashri Zada. Please proceed.
Yeah, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
And congrats on great set of numbers on operational side. So my question is regarding how should we see the three revenue, I mean the three segmental mix evolve in next couple of quarters? And also if you can throw some light on digital experience, which has shown some decline in this quarter, whether it will recoup that degrowth, in terms of margins and overall growth going ahead. That is the first question. Second is if you can throw some light on order booking and the nature of deals that we have won this quarter, and pipeline if you can give us some cues on how it is growing, and some cues on overall growth and margins going ahead.
Yeah. So in the digital experiences, I had mentioned about 2 quarters earlier that we have 2 customers who are moving their work to the captives, and therefore you see the margins becoming a little softer and the growth not being as much. Quarter 4 of this year, we will expect the full impact of that transition. From quarter 1 of next year, we'll see an upswing because we've signed several new logos and they have much healthier margins as well. So we will see an upswing in digital experiences starting quarter 1 of next year. But quarter 4 will remain a little soft. On digital operations and digital technologies, as you see, the numbers on digital technology has been quite robust. And I see that continuing for the next few quarters. I don't see a major challenge there. We have a healthy pipeline. On digital operations, there's a lot of transitioning happening on the AI side, so the margins are improving. The pipeline will also improve as we deliver these solutions for automating business processes. So that's really going to be the driver going forward. Overall, I'm quite okay with the next year going ahead. Revenue by industry, that's not true. To your point in terms of the pipeline and the quarter, right now it's still fairly strong. In fact, we are seeing a little uptick on the pipeline, so that's good. I think the current uncertainties in the U.S. Has become a state of normal in a way. Everybody knows and everybody remains uncertain, so they've sort of taken it in their stride. Generally, the mood is improving. The velocity is still slow, but it's we see a slight upward trend. So, yeah, that's that.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Yajit Shah, an investor. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a great set of numbers. Just had a question regarding the Google Gemini enterprise solutions that we have started to provide. It took a big portion of our revenue. And also, what is the expected revenue mix from that?
So no, we are implementing Google Gemini across the enterprise within Datamatics. So every person will be powered with an AI tool in their hand. That should impact productivity, efficiency, and things like that. We are also integrating some of the Google technology into our AI solutions, which we are taking to the market. We built agentic AI platforms for insurance, for logistics, for banks, and we've started taking that to market. The revenues will flow in the next few quarters. We've tested the solution right now, and the response has been quite promising from customers. But I think once we nail a few customers, or once we acquire a few customers in the next, say, 3 to 4 months, we will get a good visibility on what those revenues will look like. So the agenda of Google Enterprise is to get every person hands-on with AI technology in the company. Being an AI-first company, that becomes paramount. So far, the pockets of AI have been concentrated with a few people who are deep into the AI space, who are experts. But now we need to democratize this and make sure that every employee in the company is thinking AI-first and is powered with an AI tool inside. So that's really the agenda.
Great, sir. And one last question. The labor code impact, is this just for this quarter or will we see any other small impacts over the next quarter or the year?
It is just for this quarter in the sense that there is a backlog because of the one-time hit with the retrospective effect. So therefore, this quarter has taken a big hit. From next quarter onwards, it will become a routine marginal increase in gratuity. So we expect something in the range of maybe 0.3, 0.4, 0.5, but thereabouts. We still have to do the math because all these regulations are not yet clear. They're still coming out with clarifications. So we are keeping our eyes open and talking to the consultants who can advise us on that. So, but fundamentally going forward, there will not be too much of an impact.
Great. Thank you, sir. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Participant who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Grishma Shah from Envision Capital. Please proceed.
Good evening to the management team and thanks for taking my question. Curious to know how is TNQ Tech doing, and you know, till 9 months we have the benefit of integrating TNQ on a year-on-year basis, therefore the numbers look good. But if you had to exclude that and then look at the standalone business, if you could give us some idea as to how the business is done, that should be great.
So TNQ is doing good. If you look at the, so we are successfully integrating it very well into the company. Overall, we've had a sequential quarter-on-quarter growth of 4%, as you see. So that, of course, includes TNQ as well as the rest of Datamatics. So the growth is not coming from the acquisition. Of course, we got a bump up because of 19% because of the acquisition for Q1, Q2, Q3. But if you see for the last two quarters, our sequential quarter growth has been 4% and above for this quarter as well as the previous one. So I think we are doing quite well in terms of organic growth and integration of TNQ. And they remain financially healthy. And so in that sense, it was a very good acquisition from a data management perspective.
So, I mean, see, if you had to look at even sequential growth of 4%, I mean, if you could give us year-on-year, how has TNQ grown?
So I have that figure handy, but I know they've had a good growth. Their growth has been in line with the rest of Dynamics, so probably they're also growing at about, I don't have the figure exactly on hand, so I would be hesitant to give you a number, but maybe, you know, offline we can have a conversation and we can pull out those numbers, or specifically TNQ.
Okay. And just transitioning to captive center for the digital experience business line, this has been going on since last December, if I remember correctly. The last December quarter was, you know, really a slow quarter for us. So, I mean, does it take like four quarters for the work to transition?
Yes, it depends on each customer situation, but it could be between two, on the minimum it would be one quarter, at the maximum it would be four quarters. It depends on each situation. So these are both very slow and steady, but this was something that was riding on the wall. So it's good. It's good that it's been slow and steady, so therefore it does not create undue pressure on Datamatics as well as the customer.
Okay. And for FY27, you know, what does the outlook look like? Is it a flat year in terms of growth, or is it low single digits? What does it look like for you given the deal pipeline that is in front of you?
Yeah, so we are looking at high single digits growth, and then of course occasionally we do look at M&A, so I'm not factoring M&A into this, but the high single digits is something that would be a decent number to look at.
Okay. And, I mean, is Gemini the first AI tool that we are implementing, or I believe we would have multiple other AI tools also that we were working on, right?
Yeah, we worked with Llama from Facebook, we worked with Anthropic, we worked with Microsoft OpenAI, which is a big one, there's ChatGPT, we worked with Google as well, so we worked with multiple.
Yeah.
We found that Gemini has an edge over most others on several fronts. So therefore, we've gone with Gemini across the board because we find that output to be much better. And the idea is to democratize it. So really, the assistance that we're getting from Google to really train our people and, you know, empower all the employees. Having said that, in different pockets, we use different AI tools. So not one tool is going to fit everything. So somewhere we're using Anthropic, somewhere it's using OpenAI, but Gemini will be the dominant one. Having said that,
Hi, this is Mithul here. So, you know, while we are using Gemini for, you know, internal productivity tools, while we are building solutions, while we are recommending classic cases to customers, we have capabilities across all the tools, you know, all the AI models which Rahul mentioned, be it OpenAI, Microsoft OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, Llama. So capability development is across. But then when we have to adopt one particular tool across the organization for the people, then that's where we decided to go ahead with Gemini, which suited more for us as an organization.
Having said that, we've also built our own small language models and we've deployed those into technology customer situations because it requires that kind of a solutioning.
Okay. And will the growth for next year be led by digital operations or you think it would be across all the three segments? I mean,
it will be across all the three segments. I think technologies would probably be a leader and you'll see an uptake in experiences as well. But it will be across all three largely.
Okay, and how is Dextera doing above company average growth?
Yeah, Dextera is doing very well. We've been able to very successfully cross-sell into the Datamatics customer base. We've got a very strong pipeline right now. And not only a strong pipeline, but also much larger deals compared to what Dextera had. So overall, quite optimistic about the way Dextera is panning out because of the cross-sell, the pipeline, and the deal sizes that we're getting. And that allows us in our strategy of penetrating our existing accounts very well.
Okay, fine. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bimal Parekh from Sunidhi. Please proceed.
Good evening and thank you for giving me a chance. And congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my question was basically that during Q3, what was the spend on AI which we have written off? Is my first question. And the other was to Rahul Bhai that, you know, in his earlier experience when he had said that, you know, most companies are just testing out AI. So what is the experience now? Are the companies warming up to give more projects?
Yeah, so to your question, our spend, I can't specifically say AI, but our spend on these transformation technologies is roughly 40 to 50 crores a year. Earlier, it was more in the product space where we are pivoting away from products investments and more into the AI investment. So basically, it's all in the investment space, right? So a little more investment. So we've reallocated our funds internally. So that investment continues. To your other question on, so what was the other question?
Your testing.
Testing. So the customers are testing these things. Right now, they started going into production. Also, we see some customers going into mainstream production. And not only that, we find some customers very open to adopting technology as a main platform on which they want to operate. So we started seeing that transition happen. As I mentioned in my address, that there are a few solutions that we built which we showcased to customers. We've already piloted it and the customers have loved the demos that we've seen. Not only demos, a proof of concept actually. So now it's about cashing in on those opportunities and converting them into live transactions. But the hesitation that we used to see about a year ago, it seems to be waning and we see them more open to adopting AI in the main operations of their business. So that's good news. And also the solutions that they've seen from Datamax, they've been extremely happy about what they've seen.
So, sir, do you expect this 50 crores to be spent every year or you expect that to taper down?
No, for right now, we will maintain that between 40 and 50 because we are doing a lot of this whole area of technology is changing so fast and we need to keep abreast with that area. So we will maintain it for some time, but we keep reviewing it every quarter just to see where we're going. So as of now, it's there.
And we write off this as an expense in our books instead of capitalizing, right?
That is correct.
Okay. And sir, any other industries that we are now targeting?
No.
I believe last time was BFSI, largely insurance. So any other industries that are we targeting?
Our footprint is large in manufacturing, in education and publishing, and BFSI. These are the three dominant ones. So I think that will remain as they are. We are not looking at any new industry per se.
Okay, and US was kind of lukewarm. So has things reversed then, or they're still lukewarm towards Indian?
They are still they're a little lukewarm more because of, I think, political reasons and political pressures more than business. And I think that overhang of the politics is still there. It's beginning to look up right now, so it is improving because I think everybody is now very comfortable with the uncertainty that exists. Everybody is in the same boat and they've been in this boat for quite a while. So I think that's the new normal, that it just remains uncertain. So generally it's looking up, but there is still a political overhang which we don't know which way it'll go.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil from Sapphire Capital. Please proceed.
Good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes. So, sir, just picking up on the previous one for the US market. So, it is still like a heavy chunk of our business, right? 50% plus?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, because this, you know, the scenario is, you know, ever going and not looking like it will settle in the near term. So are you trying to diversify and move away from the market, or is it still, you know, reaping us good kind of contracts and business?
No, it is still giving us good contracts and business. We are not looking at diversifying because between the US and UK, it pretty much covers 80% of the global outsourcing market. So if you're looking out elsewhere, you're looking at best a fraction. Now 20% is the rest of the world. Now obviously we can't go to some low-cost destinations like Africa and South America. We can't go to certain other countries which are non-English speaking, which are very different. So therefore, that is the market. And we will continue to focus on it. I'm sure this current political headwind will wane out soon. And we are hoping that, you know, it at least reduces, if not goes away completely. And that should improve the mood amongst all customers. So, no, we're not looking at other geographies for diversification.
Also, there is a, you know, our focus with on our growing our existing customers. That is what one of the key growth strategy is, so which is basically, again, distributed across the geography, which is US, Europe, and India, Middle East. So I think that we have our hands full enough to plow there. Once the, you know, overall economic environment improves, I'm sure we'll get some. You know, we'll see those in numbers.
So is it fair to say that with the current customer base in the US mainly, there is a lot of scope for the wallet share increase?
Absolutely. Yes.
Which can let us sustain a good amount of growth for the coming years.
Yes, absolutely. These are pretty large enterprises, and we need to mine them. We need to build more stronger relationships with them, and that's what the strategy is. And we are gearing up. We have already geared up ourselves. Last year we launched it, and we are seeing fruits of that.
Right. Correct. Secondly, so the Q3 this was impacted by, you know, the labor code changes. Now you think it's going to taper down and, you know, settle in the next quarter. From the next quarter on, which is quarter four, profitability will be, you know, inch up, right? And the same effect will not be there.
So as highlighted, this is a one-time impact of the past liability which was there because of change in the definition of wages. So that impact is a one-time impact. Going forward, we don't see any material impact. There will be minimal increase which will be there, but we don't expect any material impact of this now.
It was just a one-time legacy impact. That's the impact of the whole industry.
Got it. So fair to say the EBITDA margins, of course, not related to this labor co-impact, but I'm just in general asking, the EBITDA margins are sustainable? Because on quarter-on-quarter, you have been growing by a few basis points, and you closed with 19%. So is this sustainable for quarters ahead?
Yeah. We will be sustaining the EBITDA margins. We continue to look at in terms of how we can keep our cost in control and keep growing. That's basically the key thing that we are looking at. So EBITDA will maintain the EBITDA margin and keep improving.
Okay. You're confident of that. And lastly, you said FY27, you see high single-digit growth. Now, are you being conservative there? Because in the last three quarters, year-on-year, you have grown around 18%-20%. So why, as a company, we are not still guiding, coming ahead and guiding with a strong 20%+ growth for consolidated level?
No. So the growth that you see includes some degree of an acquisition, and therefore you see a bump up. We'd rather be conservative because there's still a lot of uncertainty, partly thanks to the political situation, partly thanks to the disruption that AI can have. And therefore, there's some degree of grayness there. And therefore, this is the current outlook. Of course, as every quarter passes, we'll get better clarity, and I'm sure we'll have those conversations to see whether we need to change our estimations of future growth. But right now, this is what we're looking at. It is a little conservative, but it does include an M&A in the last.
Yes, yes.
But the sequential growth, if you see, we've had for two quarters, 4%, 4%. So it's been a very healthy organic sequential growth.
Okay. Okay. All right, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinivasu from TIA. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity, and congratulations for the great set of Q3 numbers. Is Data Matrix clients asking you to build AI agents on top of the existing platforms like Microsoft, Google, Salesforce, or you have any AI accelerators that you built by yourself, which is actually driving this?
So we have a few accelerators that we are deploying. I earlier talked about agentic underwriting for logistics, for banking, for insurance. We've built solutions around Microsoft Copilot. So yes, we have built on top of existing platforms because we don't build a foundation model. The foundation model is from these large tech companies like Google and Microsoft, right? So we've taken those as a platform. Now, when you build it on the customer's environment, you have to integrate it into the core systems. It cannot be a bolt-on sitting on top. So therefore, customers are still testing that. They're not quite clear how to do that because there's a fear of data going outside the enterprise. So that's the biggest fear. So our solutions are delivering good. Now, when it comes to building solutions for the customer, that is still sporadic because not every customer will allow you to touch the core systems. And AI will really work only when you can directly access data in their systems. But the point I made earlier was that customers are now maturing and coming to the terms of the fact that it's a good solution, it's a good thing to do, and therefore more and more customers are sort of going down the path of putting it into the main systems.
So compared to other IT service companies, peers in India, so what Data Matrix actually having a differentiation in terms of agentic workflow orchestration, or do you have AI-based automation or AI-based DX personalization? Where exactly is the strength with Data Matrix?
So we have got an agentic AI workflow built. We have a whole platform. We've trained several people. I think the key to this market is how fast you can move with the market. And we've had a good start. We've moved in fast. We've got a few very good customers. So that's really the key. Also, the benefit that we've been able to deliver is because we understand the business process services as well as the technology services. we're able to put them together very well and deliver the end result. Ultimately, the customer is looking at better, faster, cheaper. And we have successfully delivered a return on investment to the customer. So it's really an integrated IT and operations story that goes very well and the ability to deliver ROI.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sanjot, an investor. Please proceed.
Hello, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, congratulations on a good set of operation numbers in a tough market. I have two questions. One is like Q4 is generally a seasonally a good quarter for Datamatics. And yeah. You mentioned that digital experience is going to have some impact on the quarter. Is it going to be kind of, overall it's going to be kind of a muted quarter compared to Q4, generally Q4? And second question is, yeah, you can answer first one, please. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please. Ask your second question.
So second question is about there is on a employee side, like on a headcount side in a Q3, have you added or any number of employees? What is the current employee count? And on a wage hike, is it already done for this financial year or is it going to be happening in Q4?
Yeah. So on the employee count, we've not added too much more. It's more about augmenting it with AI and improving productivity and not really increasing headcount now. In terms of wage hike for this year is done. There's nothing happening this year. We already did a mid-year increment cycle. The next cycle will be probably next financial year, April, May time frame. On your first question, if you can just jog my memory on the first one. The digital experiences will have a little muted thing, but that I think it will pick up in Q1 of next year. So Q4 might be a little soft, but Q1 will pick up.
Actually, you mean digital experience business will pick up from the Q1, but in the Q4, it will be having some impact. And overall, the way Q4 generally is a higher quarter, it will be having a little impact on Q4. But other two businesses will be doing well.
Yeah, Q4, see, so we have some cyclical business. And because of the growth in the non-cyclical business and the acquisition that we made, both Dexara as well as P&Q, the ratio of cyclicality has reduced. So we will see a spike in Q4, but it will not be as prominent as it has been in the past because the other businesses which are sort of larger and more stable have grown. So yes, we will see a spike, but not as steep a spike because the others are more stable.
All right. Thank you and all the best.
Sure.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Bimal from Suniti. Please proceed.
Hello again, sir. Just wanted to understand which industry is best as far as adopting AI in your opinion and what is your experience been?
So the industries that are very heavy with information processing are the more likely ones. So banking, finance, insurance are adopting it quite well. They have a concern on data security and data privacy. But outside of that concern, they are very, very open to the idea of using AI. They have issues with compliance, but compliance when you use it internally, that's a very important area to explore AI because AI can automate a lot of the manual paperwork that goes on in compliances. But since these industries are regulated, they need to be a little cautious. Industries that have been laggards, I would say, is publishing because they are very concerned about the IP rights of the authors and they're concerned about AI violating the intellectual property rights of authors. So that's been a little slow. Technology industry has been good. Manufacturing, more so because a lot of manufacturing goes into core brick and mortar kind of stuff, where AI is a very different use case. So it's really BFSI and technology which have been large ones. Education publishing has been a little slow. Manufacturing has been kind of average. So this has been our experience so far. Logistics also is doing what? A decent amount, because logistics has a lot of information that they process, and that's where they use AI.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. As there are no further questions from the participant, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for being on this call with us, and thank you for your confidence in Datamatics. I think we've had a good interaction today, and I look forward to meeting all of you in the next quarter. I'm wishing you once again a very happy new year. And we'll see you soon. Thank you again.
Thank you. On behalf of Datamatics Global Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.